Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll get into the Senior Bowl in just a couple of minutes. I got a few players who stood out I want to chat about. A couple of them are quarterbacks, and if you're a Redskins fan as it pertains to the draft, you're going to want to keep those ears open because these are a couple names they could have some interest in. Let's wrap up this Tom Brady conversation. A couple of you have been on hold for a while. Josh in D.C., Brady upset with WEEI after one of their part-time hosts called his kid a pissant. What would you do if you were Brady? What would you do if you were the station?
Hey, from Brady's perspective, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, dude.
From Brady's perspective, I understand. You guys already said it. He's probably already guarded. So this kind of those comments from the third guy, the ancillary guy, kind of tip the scale. And maybe Brady doesn't have time enough to distinguish who is who and what from what. And for him, it's like, I'm just going to shift here and let you guys know that you're not going to. I mean, he could have said something off air, and then the guys, you know, when his portion came up or that time, I mean.
Oh, he broke up. Thanks for the call.
If I'm Brady, I say, you got to earn me back from the station, because I understand that Kirk and Callahan didn't say this, but I also said that you guys employ someone that did. So this station's got to make it up to me, whether it's a charitable donation, whether it's something. You need to do something. I'm not asking for more cash. I mean, I think that'd be pretty callous and base. But you need to do something to earn my trust back.
That's a good point, because I always continue to say that I wouldn't probably take it out on the show because they didn't say it. But you're still making that station, who will continue to employ this guy if I get my way and he doesn't get fired, a lot of money.
Yeah, your station benefits from me being on there.
Now, and you're still going to be paying part of what I make, you, to this kid who called my kid a pissant.
Yeah.
Joe in Manassas, what's up?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Brady can do whatever he wants. You know, he's going to decide, you know, maybe I don't want to go on that show anymore. Whatever, that's fine with him. But these callers that are calling saying the man should lose his livelihood because the comments that he made are just absolutely crazy. That's the problem with our society. Everybody gets so butthurt with the comments. It's just enough, man.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. I generally agree. I think that obviously he crossed a line here. It was good feedback, and it was good to get all the calls and conversation on a story that is developing, and we'll pass along what we find out as the day continues. Senior Bowl. Let's get into some of the best college prospects in the country. Did you watch any of the game on Saturday?
I unfortunately wasn't able to. I was attending a funeral, so I actually missed.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so I missed the game. I want your review, though. I heard some quarterbacks help themselves.
So Senior Bowl, really, really good. We'll start with that. I want to start with Wyoming quarterback Josh Allen, because he is the lightning rod player in this class that you either love or you hate as a prospect. He is big, 6'5", 240 pounds. He can move. I came into this game expecting to see him wildly inaccurate.
I almost was rooting for that, by the way. Not because I'm rooting against the player, but I'd like to confirm what I thought.
Right.
Does that make any sense?
I have not watched him at Wyoming.
I didn't see
much.
Most
people who tell you that they have are lying to you, for the record. Most people have not watched a lot of Josh Allen. He didn't complete a high percentage of his passes, which is important to me, in the mid-50s in terms of percentage as a passer, which in college just isn't okay. Now, that gets dismissed by the people who really like him because receivers drop passes or they didn't run great routes or it's a bad program. You need to complete more than mid-50s passes if you're going to be a really good NFL quarterback. That's what history tells us. Danny, I came out of this game really liking Josh Allen.
Oh, no.
Here's why. First of all, you look at this dude and you see it.
Yep.
You see what an NFL quarterback looks
like.
It's
your central casting line, man, right?
It's Carson Wentz. It's Ben Roethlisberger. It's a big-bodied dude. First half, not impressive as a passer at all. Now, he didn't do anything wrong, but he had a hard time getting the ball out. It wasn't like finding people. There was nothing in rhythm. He basically would drop back, get flushed from the pocket, and, by the way, moves around in the pocket well. His first two plays were scrambles for first downs. For a 6'5", 240 guy, he's not quite Carson Wentz, but I'm telling you, he can scramble a little bit.
He's athletic.
He doesn't have the foot speed of a Kirk Cousins even, but that's, again, 6'2 and a half, 6'3, and just a smaller frame that should be a little bit faster. But he is nifty and nimble with his feet. Now, Here is what I'll say. You can hear me smiling a little bit.
Your lips are filled with smile.
This dude can freaking spin it.
Yep.
He has a rocket for an arm. Now, there are plenty of times where you don't know where that thing's going, okay? Who did I love in baseball? Daniel Cabrera. He once walked 10 guys and struck out 9 in a game. You never knew where the fastball was going, but it was 98. When it was on black, it looked pretty, and he had a wipeout slider. He reminds me of a closer who doesn't have a lot of command.
Uh-huh.
But in the second half, he got into a rhythm, and he could not have been more accurate. I'm talking about dropping one ball in the bucket after another with touch. The knock on him all week was he only has a fastball. He threw a beautiful touchdown looped over top of an outstretched defensive back's hand, threw another touchdown back of the end zone that couldn't have been thrown any better. His line in the second half was 9 of 13 for 158 yards and 2 touchdowns. This is a showcase. It's a Senior Bowl. Yeah. It was a rainy day. You're playing with receivers you don't know very well, so that can be difficult. I'm not sitting here telling you I think this guy is going to be an all-pro in the NFL. But what I'm saying is most of the week I was one of the skeptics who looked at this guy and went, why are we talking about Josh Allen? He cannot throw the ball accurately. That is overrated.
I can't.
Conversation, he showed in the game, he's got a little bit of everything. So I am enamored with him. I'm intrigued by him, I will say. That's my Josh Allen take.
You got reeled in by that small sample.
Him at one if I'm the Browns? No, I would not.
Would you take him at, say...
would I take him at 13? I would probably not, because I am of the belief that the Redskins should not draft a quarterback.
But let's say you didn't have that belief. Let's say they should draft a quarterback.
Here's a better question. Would I take him over Baker Mayfield? Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I would.
You got hooked in.
Baker Mayfield, better quarterback right now.
He showed you a little bit of leg, and you got intrigued.
He showed me a lot of leg. I don't know what happened to me. I'm telling you, I get it. I get what the scouts see.
My buddy Sample Size Paulson over here.
I had a text from a scout last week saying he just saw him have the worst Senior Bowl practice that like he's seen in years. But that same guy's blown away from the game. I'm not going to say I'm in on Josh Allen. I'm interested in what Josh Allen could become. But my last point on him, hard stance here. This is a guy who next year it is not going to look that good. This is a guy that I think is going to deliver clunkers probably next season if he's in the NFL as a starter. This is a sit him for a year and let him grow. Like if you draft Josh Allen at 13, then you play.
This is a 2019 thing.
Colt McCoy, I don't want to do that. So go get someone, you know, trade for Nick Foles. Trade a 6 for Nick Foles or something. Do whatever you got to do for a year, and you wait on this guy. But I think a couple seasons from now, you're going to like Josh Allen.
Give me your assessment of Kyle Laletta from Richmond. This is the guy that's got that, like, secondary buzz. Now watch out for this.
Kyle Laletta was fantastic. And just like with Josh Allen, you can't take a ton out of a Senior Bowl performance. Mm-hmm. He does not have some of the measurables, some of the other things. He's a little bit short on almost everything, whether it's arm strength down the field. He does everything okay. He doesn't have a plus tool. Imagine in baseball, good runner, good hit tool, little good power. He's like a bunch of 45
nothing,
and 50 grades.
Nothing wrong with him, yeah.
He was 8 of 11 for 128 and a touchdown when he came into the game and finished 8 of 12 for a buck 98 and 3. What I loved, he was the most accurate passer of the day.
Yeah.
He extended plays with his feet. He showed starter traits, which I wouldn't have thought he did. The book on him coming into the game was this guy's going to be an NFL coach, super smart, going to be a great backup for a long time. I think Todd McShay said he's Drew Stanton. I could see that comp. You know, I like that. He'd have a chance to me in a world where Nathan Peterman just started a game this year because someone liked him a lot. He's going to be that. He'll be drafted in the – probably get overdrafted in the third or fourth round, let's say. But he'll be drafted in the mid-rounds, I would guess. And he'll be like some coach's flavor where it's not going great with the starter, so let's see what Kyle Laletta
can do. But he's awesome in the meeting room, and some coach decides that's enough.
And if the Redskins don't draft a quarterback in the first three rounds and he's there in the fourth round, he's absolutely the kind of guy you take a flyer on and just see what he becomes.
But in your mind, not that much upside.
I think the upside's limited. I think probably best-case scenario for him, like the best thing he could become would be like a Case Keenum, and that's a weird time to say that, but like Case Keenum before he just broke out,
yeah,
if
that
makes sense.
I get you. Yeah, a guy that's a journeyman. Last one quickly. Rashad Penny, Talk to me about Rashad Penny, because the Redskins had some banter with the old San Diego State product.
Here's what I love.
I think
about
they're
Rashad
in
Penny.
The running back game. I do.
Rashad Penny caught a 73-yard touchdown where he showed great hands.
That's why I brought
showed
it up.
Showed really good hands all week. He helped himself because out of the backfield, he caught the football and he ran pretty good routes. He had 137 all-purpose yards.
This is why I'm bringing it up.
I like Rashad Penny. Before the game, just didn't know a lot about him. He looks like an NFL running back. I would be happy if the Redskins took him. The question is, where is he going to go? Mm-hmm. Like, even they were debating on the Senior Bowl. Is he a first-round pick? Is he a third-round pick? Here is my issue. I want to know what kind of 40 time he's going to run. Because I'm over now drafting like 4 or 5 40 guys who can't hit home runs. He hit a lot of home runs in college. Yeah. I know that. He ran away from traffic for the 73-yard touchdown. But the next running back I draft, if I'm the Redskins, I know this sounds ridiculous and too underwear Olympic combine-y, he's going to be a 4-4 running back. I need explosion. I need a home run hitter. I need an Alvin Kamara.
I'm now 100% out on the bruising downhill running back.
Yeah.
With this offense,
which
this scheme, this team.
He kind of runs angry and looks to thump people between the tackles. Like, don't get me wrong. He's got a different body and runs different than a Samaje Perine, who's like the extreme version of that.
Yeah, I've given up hope of having a reasonable running game. I want a guy that catches passes out of the backfield. Basically, a first and second down Chris Thompson. Because I've got my third down back. Yeah.
One more name for you. I've never heard of this guy. Dar and some college football guys would have to tell me his deal. I just read up this weekend that he caught like 50 balls ever and they had a terrible quarterback situation, obviously. DJ Chark, the wide receiver from LSU, went 5 for 160 and blew everyone away. He was uncoverable in this game. He also played special teams, made a couple big tackles on teams, was down in punts inside the 5. DJ Chark probably came into the game as like a, I don't know, 4th round type pick. May have jumped 2 rounds.
Well, LSU's known for their great quarterback situations. Wait, yeah. The exact opposite. So
But they are legitimately known for great wide receivers.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, that dude made plays and looked like an NFL pass
catcher. LSU will find the athlete everywhere except for quarterback.
If you guys got a thought on the Senior Bowl, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, who was unimpressive and then left at halftime, you can call us and hit us up, 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Let's get into the Super Bowl for the first time today, for the Senior Bowl to the Super Bowl next. Free 6-1067. You want to talk Senior Bowl. 800-636-1067. They're playing in the rain, just like they were at the Pro Bowl. I watch rain football, and for some reason, it like harkens me back to feeling like a kid playing sports again. The best thing in the world is to watch a snow football game. I used to, when I would play Madden, always turn on the snow function.
Oh, yeah. It's why I've always demanded that the whiny once-a-year sports writers or columnists who go descend to a city who complain about the cold, pipe down. Viewing experience, please.
You're going to get so much of that this week in Minneapolis.
Tens of millions of people would like to watch a snow game. Now, if it was my team playing in the snow, I'd be pissed. Don't have to worry about that. I'm a Redskins fan. For the most part, cold weather games, snow games, rain games, whatever, the most memorable that we have. I would love to watch a snow Super Bowl. I would love it. Love it.
I didn't get your take on Josh Allen as of right now.
Now, I didn't see the magic of this past weekend.
You did not.
So I have to go with a much larger sample of complete inadequacy and poor
play.
That
might be the smarter thing to do.
I can't get fooled. I can't get fooled by one workout where the guy doesn't wear the right glove or it's windy that day or he's throwing to receivers he doesn't know or the underwear Olympics, whatever else. I can't be fooled by anything other than the biggest sample we've got, which is way worse play this year than last year when he's supposed to be growing and getting better. He was worse. I can't do it. I can't be in the Josh Allen business.
But if you're playing at a program that isn't that good with talent around you that isn't that good, there's a long list of guys that are much better after the fact. Like, go back and look at, they're not going to be as bad from a completion percentage standpoint or whatever, but like Ben Roethlisberger, as an example, played at Miami of Ohio. See what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, if he played at an elite college program, I think probably would have been better and would have put up better numbers. I always view, and we talked about this with baseball, my comp I always go to is the conversation I had where I asked the guy after he drafted a player how many times he'd seen him. I said, I only had to see him once. He said, I saw him throw 97 with a good breaking ball, and I said, I'll work with that. I was like, yeah, but what if that's the best he ever plays? He said, well, I know he's got that in him. My point is watching Josh Allen, people say, oh, he's just not accurate. Okay, maybe he's going to be inaccurate for much of his career, and if that's the case, he'll never be a great NFL quarterback. But I saw that second half where he's moving around in the pocket. He's taking on contact. He's scrambling for first downs. He's dropping balls in buckets. He's got that in him against the best college players in the country who are seniors right now. What could he be in 2 or 3 years? And that's what people are enamored with.
Sure.
Now, the conversation's different if you're saying right now, this second, should he go first overall? I don't know anyone who would say yes other than maybe the Browns, it sounds like. But if you're drafting for 3 years from now, which is what some teams do, the problem is no one drafts that way a quarterback anymore.
That's part of it, too.
Like, is it possible to draft a guy in the top 15 and not play him until next year? We have not seen that other than Pat Mahomes this year with the Chiefs. Where did he go? 13th, I think.
Yeah, I think he went 13th. 13th, 14th.
That was the first time, long time, we've seen a guy drafted early first round.
Dar, do me a favor. You got him handed, don't you? Give me some Big Ben numbers, just for the sake. Just for fun.
Big Ben's final year stats, he went 342 for 495, a 69.1 completion percentage, almost 4,500 yards, 37 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Never had less than 22 touchdowns, never had more than 13 interceptions. He was throwing the ball all the time in a time when the Mac was actually really, really good.
So
I didn't comp their statistics.
What I'm saying to that,
he was at a better program, he probably goes in the top five, maybe with that Eli, Phillip Rivers conversation rather than being an also-ran.
But here's my point. When Ben Roethlisberger stayed at Miami of Ohio, when they go play a Power 5 school, let's say they played Wisconsin, and he doesn't put up as good of numbers, that's how I can excuse that away. Where I go, his guys aren't good enough to beat the guys for the Big Ten. His receivers can't get open, et cetera. But when the competition's all relative, he's a quarterback of an 8-5 team putting up beyond worse than pedestrian numbers, below average numbers, talking about Allen. So I can excuse away when your guys are going up against the best and you don't play well against Power 5 schools, which was a knock on him. I got no problem with that. I do have a problem, though, when Wyoming's playing teams they should play and he still stinks.
Yeah.
That's the part that I can't get past.
I think that's fair. I would caution you, as much as I like analytics, as much as I like numbers, and so much of what I do in deciding what I like and don't like about players is about numbers, I would caution you about just being out on a guy because of his college stats, which is basically your Josh Allen take. Because you haven't seen him play.
No, I haven't.
And you're just like, this guy stinks.
All I'm doing is reading, and I haven't seen it.
But that's my point. I think a lot of people do that. They say, well, he didn't play well. He didn't put up numbers in college. He stinks. I'm saying there's a reason a lot of NFL teams look at him and go, oh, my gosh, this is what it looks like.
Yeah, because they get enamored with some of the wrong things.
And a lot of times they're right, though. A lot of times they find guys that are diamonds in the rough that throw and do all the things they need to do at an NFL level. You could put up – Kyle Laletta put up good numbers at Richmond. Is he an NFL quarterback? See what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, it's not everybody that puts up numbers is good.
Right. It's not everyone that didn't put up numbers is bad either.
I don't know.
Let's go to Tony in Long Island. What's up, Tony?
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Grant. Hey, Danny. How are you? Love the show. All the way out from New York. I love you guys, man.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah. Listen, a name and a quarterback that really, really intrigues me is Mike White from Western Kentucky.
He lit
up the Senior Bowl. A couple of points with him. A, he's got the measurables. B, the Redskins met with him at the Senior Bowl, and he actually stated the Redskins were his favorite interview. All they did was talk football, he said. And I'm going to go on record. I actually think the Redskins are seriously considering him in the middle rounds. He's got a special quality to him in the pocket. If you look at tapes, he sidesteps very uniquely. I'm a huge fan, and Laletta stole some of his thunder, which might be a good thing, but I really do think the NFL scouts are giving a serious look at him between rounds 2 to 5.
So I actually really liked White as well, and I would say this. I was had some people over at the house watching the Rumble yesterday. We were talking a little bit about the draft. The Redskins quarterback pick for me as of right now would be wait until the mid-rounds and take Mike White.
A guy like that, yeah.
I would rather take a Mike White in round 4.
Where there's no pressure to play him right away?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then take Josh Allen at 13. Do I think Josh Allen's going to be a better NFL quarterback ultimately? Yeah, I think the upside is huge for him. I'm not sure that the upside's there for Mike White to be a superstar. But I think if you watch that game, you see everything you need to see. And you want to talk about college performance, 37-7, 26-8 the last couple years in Conference USA. You know, put up the numbers. He's 6'4", he's 225. He made a couple of great throws, including one deep ball that you can't throw any better. And supposedly had a really good week. So my preference, as I've said earlier, is not to draft a quarterback in the first round. I don't really want Baker Mayfield. I don't want to take Josh Allen at 13. I would rather take Mike White three or four rounds into this thing, sit on him.
Go development, yeah.
And basically figure out a bridge quarterback for a couple years in the meantime. While Jay Gruden, who is good with quarterbacks, it has been proven. Every quarterback he's worked with here has gotten better. Sudfeld, you look at McCoy, Cousins. Let him work with that guy for two seasons while someone starts 32 games for you and see what he is in a couple years.
Not a bad plan.
That's kind of my preference in this whole thing. Let's get to the Super Bowl. Rob Gronkowski's not going to be at media day today. Still in the concussion protocol. This is a developing situation for New England. What might that mean for the Super Bowl? Brent and Danny on the Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, Super Bowl 52 this Sunday, 6 days away. We will not be in Minnesota. We're not headed to Minneapolis. I got the text message this morning when I woke up about my flight this evening.
A notification about it.
I will not have to make that flight.
This morning I was like, oh my God. Oh, that's right.
Disappointing. But the good news for you, Danny, is you don't have to skip out on the Puppy Bowl. You don't have to not come to the EA Sports Party. You don't have to not show up at any of the concerts that I'm going to try to invite you to.
Yeah.
You just get to stay home, which
don't have
is
to worry
probably
about it.
Better for you all the way around.
Don't even have to worry about saying no. I like that.
Be honest with me. Level with me here. Uh-huh. Are you disappointed that we're not going to the Super Bowl?
For show purposes, yes. But for logistical purposes, given everything that is transpiring on your boy's homestead, I would say that it's actually probably a blessing in disguise that we're not going. Show-wise, 100%, I'd like to.
You're
going to
enjoy the early arrival times back at the home front.
Yeah.
Being able to just sit around the old Manor Palace, Rouye, home.
Home. Just doing a bunch.
I understand. I am a little bit salty. I'm a saltine cracker. Mm-hmm. I would like to be in Minnesota, but we will not be. The Patriots are there. The Eagles are there. Rob Gronkowski has shown up. He was limited in practice over the weekend. He is still in the concussion protocol at this point. Tom Brady talking about getting Gronk, at least partially, back on the practice field.
Yeah, it's always great to have him out there. He's a great player, great person, great teammate, and a big part of what we do. So obviously hurts when he's not out there for a lot of reasons, but he's doing the best he can do, and we're all hopeful.
Does he bring a lot of energy just by his sheer presence when you see him out there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's got a great personality and a great way about him. So he definitely has a joyfulness to him. And, he brings that to the team, and it's just a great attribute of his. It always has been since he got here.
Brady was on ESPN yesterday ahead of the Pro Bowl, their pregame coverage, talking about the Super Bowl matchup. And he was asked about the necessity of having Gronk on the field. They were saying, look, you guys won the AFC title game largely without him. Do you really have to have him? Here's what he said.
It may have seemed seamlessly, but it really wasn't. I think a lot of other guys had to fill in the slack, and losing such a great player is hard for any offense. We don't want to do that again. So I'm hoping he's out there, all the time. He's obviously still working his way back, but we're going to need him out there this week if we want to play our best.
I think this is maybe slightly overstated, but this is how I feel for whatever reason right now. I think if the Patriots have Gronkowski, they win the Super Bowl probably with ease. If they don't have Gronk, they lose this thing.
Really?
I think it's that close of a matchup. I think Philly loses as of now something like 27-20, maybe 27-17. But no Gronk gives you a chance, if you're Schwartz and that defensive staff, to now design a plan to take some things away. They're not going to beat you running the football. They can stay balanced, but they're never going to beat anyone just pounding it down their throat.
They're not going to major
They did that last year with LeGarrette Blount at times. They can't really do that this year with that trio of running backs. So what does that mean? It's Danny Amendola. It's Chris Hogan in the red zone. It's no more Julian Edelman. No more Rob Gronkowski. basically not letting Brandon Cooks run comeback routes to get to 115 yards.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is, if you start looking at matchups and what teams do well, what teams don't. Now, it's easy to say Philadelphia's had success against X team, Y team, whatever else. They haven't played the Patriots yet. They haven't seen their version of it. Like, you could say, you know, Grant Paulson hits the fastball real well. Well, have you hit Max Scherzer's fastball? We'll see, right?
Right.
But Philadelphia has handled slot receivers really well. They've been really good in the passing game. The one weakness they have has been tight ends. There's a million reasons for that. One, design, scheme. It may just sort of be that they're good tight ends that they face. But also, Rob Gronkowski is really hard to cover. He's hard for everybody to cover. And you have to account for him. You have to bracket him. That means attention must be paid. That leaves the Brandon Cooks over the top. That leaves Chris Hogan on deep routes, on double moves and things like that, if you can block it up. The advantage that Philadelphia has, and the teams historically that have given New England trouble on offense, where at least they've been slowed down, if not stymied at times, are the ones that can cover with the maximum number of people without committing that much to the rush and still getting some pressure. Be it the Giants in the Super Bowl, be it those Denver Broncos teams that or the Broncos team that beat them a couple years back, or you think of the Ravens at certain points who've been able to cover with a bunch of guys and design some exotic blitzes here, there, and everywhere. The teams that have given New England at least some slowdown have been designed like Philadelphia, which is why I think they'll be in the game with or without Gronkowski.
Yeah, if you can beat up their offensive line in the interior, and it's not pass rush. People always say, well, you got to get to Brady. You have to get to Brady from basically the center
from the middle
position,
yep.
The interior gaps. If you can do that, which with Fletcher Cox and Jernigan. Tim Jernigan pushing the pocket and being able to come downhill from the linebacking position like they can, you will be able to. Go back and watch when Kirk Cousins against Philly had problems. It's because he had Fletcher Cox and guys blowing up formations in his face, hitting him in the face mask. That's where the pressure comes from. And if you're Tom Brady, that is where you have struggled in the playoffs. Nick Foles is going to play in a Super Bowl game.
Ugh.
This is not a drill. He will potentially be added to that list. Think about if he wins, by the way.
Come on, dude.
We're going to have to say, like, well, Trent Dilfer won one, and Nick Foles won one, and Brad Johnson won one, and he is feeling good about his chances.
I feel really good right now. I feel calm, excited. This is something you dream about as a kid, and the opportunity to go do this with such an amazing group of guys, and to be, you know, wearing the green, be a part of the Philadelphia Eagles organization, it's a dream come true, and I'm really excited because I'm really going into uncharted waters. I've never even been to a Super Bowl game, so to be playing in it, I'm really excited.
ESPN's pregame of the Pro Bowl, he was a guest yesterday as well. He and Doug Peterson's relationship, which dates back to when he was in college, has come up quite a bit over the last week, and he provided some details.
It means the world to be playing for Coach Peterson. He was the one who drafted me. He was the one that came out to Austin, Texas, and worked me out at Westlake High School. He was the only coach that flew out and did that. Philadelphia Eagles were the only organization that I had a private visit with outside of the Senior Bowl and the Combine. So for him to have that faith in me from the beginning is huge. And now to play for him as he's my head coach is something that's really special. And, you know, I'm grateful every day for it.
If I was to have told you at the end of the regular season.
Unbelievable.
With Big Nick Foles at 6'6 and 245. Having just laid an egg against the Oakland Raiders in week 16, 19 of 38, touchdown and a pick. Or even, you know, the next week when they got shut out by the Cowboys and he completed 36% of his passes in that game. This dude's going to be starting against the Patriots in the Super Bowl, and they're going to have a pretty good chance, it looks like, going into that game.
The Atlanta Falcons should be kicking themselves.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
I mean, the sheer massive number of chances, whatever, we could go into it forever. But yeah, it's a virtual impossibility for me. Looking at the Eagles in the last couple weeks of the season, really that Dallas game where they benched their starters, didn't really care about it. That Oakland game where they still had something to play for, that to me is the one I can't unsee. And all Foles has done has been adequate in that first playoff game, great, as good as anybody has ever played in a postseason game. He was sensational in the NFC title game. Sensational.
Our double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. I actually just sent Tommy some audio I want to play you that you probably haven't seen. Super cool. It's Steve Kerr coaching up Steph Curry over the years.
Oh, wow.
I love Steve Kerr. I think he's one of the best coaches we have in sports. And the behind-the-scenes audio of some of the things he's saying to Steph Curry in-game, I think you're going to find it as amazing as I did. So we'll play that. But also our double play. What do you got in the double play?
32nd anniversary of probably the first national tragedy that I can remember. Mm. Something that was a big deal for a lot of kids.
Brent and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Our double play is coming up in just a couple of minutes. At noon, your Beltway Blitz. Three teams in town you care the most about. Redskins, Wizards, Capitals, all jam-packed into one segment. Quick lay of the land for you, what lies ahead. Kirk Cousins could be out, no longer the quarterback of Washington, potentially. If that is the case, what is your best and worst case scenario look like based on some of the developments of the last couple of weeks? We want names. Something you would be okay with, that you would despise. Also later in the show today, Ronda Rousey to the WWE. We'll look back what has been a crazy couple of years for one of the biggest names in sports and entertainment. But before we get to our double play, Danny, I saw this online a couple of nights ago, and I was really, really impressed by it. We both like Steve Kerr a lot. This is Steve Kerr coaching up Steph Curry, and I saw this because Jason McIntyre of the Big Lead put it out there, and he said, surround yourself with people who believe in you the way Steve Kerr believes in Curry. But listen to this audio. This is what coaching sounds like.
Show you. That's your shooting totals. That's your plus minus. All right? So it's not always tied together. You're doing great stuff out there. The tempo is so different when you're out there. Everything you generate for us is so positive. It shows up here, not always there, but it always shows up here. You're doing great. Carry on, my son.
I would love to feel whatever the hell you're feeling right now, just once in my life. For me, like, if I went like 5 for 6 and made 4 threes, that was about the best I ever did. Love it. One of the things I love about you is you're like 2 for 11, no hesitation shooting a 60-footer. Nobody in the league does that. You have so much confidence in yourself, and within games like this, you turn it around like that. It's awesome. Amazing. Wish I had your confidence.
Pop was like, you know, my mentor. He would always tell us in these situations, it's supposed to be hard.
Congrats to you.
And that's the end there, is just them celebrating a championship, which is a nice culmination. But don't you hear that and you go, yep, I get it. I get why this guy's such a good coach. How do you not love playing for him? It's like a father-son conversation, everything you heard there.
But if you don't have to spend your time as a coach trying to get someone to play hard or trying to get someone to work at something, then you can have a relationship like that. Does that make any sense? Like when you can instill little nuggets of, hey, this is how good you are. I want you to have confidence and go out and explore and do the different things on the court. It's much easier than, God, please play defense. Could you guys please try to play some defense tonight? Please, can we play hard for the next 5 minutes and maybe get a stop or two? Just a different animal. It's a higher level, and it's refreshing to hear, is the way I would say it. It makes the relationship seem pretty awesome.
I think he's one of the best coaches in sports right now. It helps that he also has the best team. Because when Luke Walton ran that team, they were also finals bound and would have won the championship without Steve Kerr when he wasn't healthy. But if Steve Kerr takes over a bad team, they'd be pretty good pretty quickly, I think, because he's super good at what he does. Let's get to our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
It would actually took place over this weekend, the Challenger space shuttle exploded. And someone who, in my spot, January 28th, 1986 was the day and year. I was in first grade, Jeeps, and our entire class had a big project leading up to the space shuttle launch. And it was a big deal. The entire kind of school, and I think schools around the country were watching it, mostly because Krista McAuliffe was a former teacher, and that was kind of the way to get, you know, the everyman, so to speak, into space, and that was the way to kind of get the nation sort of reinterested, invigorated in the NASA space program. 73 seconds into the flight, we all know the story. It happened. It exploded, and it's the first time in a pre-internet era where I think it was about 90% of the U.S. population had heard of the incident, the way they were. I don't know how they were able to quantify it and figure it out, without necessarily having been able to read the story online or in print or whatever else. The fast-traveling news of that tragedy took place. 90% of the country had heard of it within an hour. And it was the first time as a kid that I remember one of those, you remember where you are, you remember what's happening as you're watching this live. My parents had JFK. This kind of was it for me, and it marked everybody my age and that generation. It's hard to believe it's been 32 years since that moment, because I remember it as vividly as anything else. We were all assembled in Taylor Hall at the Beauvoir School watching this thing take place live, and there was some confusion among the kids. There were tears before finally a member of the faculty just kind of ran over and shut the TV off, and then they all kind of ushered us out of the room back to our homerooms. I mean, everybody sort of thought this was a culmination of so much, and kind of nobody knew what to do. And so, you know, some teachers in some classes talked about it, some didn't. They just kind of went back to regular activities. What do you do? How do you talk to a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old, an 8-year-old about that kind of stuff? But I remember it very, very well, and it's something that, you know, kind of marks folks my age, a little bit younger, a little bit older, but 32-year anniversary of a great national tragedy.
The only thing for me, really, I guess that I can relate to that way, because the one moment I'll always remember as childhood is September 11th,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's one of the worst tragedies in American history. Yeah, but here's my perspective. Was weird on that recently, because I was at movie theater seeing 12 Strong, which I still advise everyone to go see, because it's an awesome movie. And it's if you like America, you'll love the movie. How about that? But when I was in the theater to see that movie, and for those of you that don't know, it's about the first soldiers into the fight in Afghanistan after they took down the World Trade Centers on September 11th. But there were kids in the theater, and just people in general, young people probably between the ages of 9 and 14. And it dawned on me, for them, they don't remember September 11th at all.
Right.
If you're 17 years old, you were born the day that it, you know, the year that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
If you're under 17, you weren't even alive yet. So what do you have to be to actually have a memory of it? Probably like 25, 24, which is kind of crazy to think about, right?
Yeah.
So,
because I was in my 20s.
But now I have a perspective and an appreciation and understanding when my dad tells me about some of these things that happened that sound like they were, I hate to say it this way, but like 100 years ago. I remember my dad would always talk about the Kennedy assassination.
Yep.
And I always think about that as if it happened like 3 lifetimes ago, if that makes any sense.
Sure, it's like the time before time.
Exactly.
Almost, yeah.
It predated me, so it must have been like, were there cars that, you know, I'm doing shtick, but my point is, if something happened before you, it feels like it was forever ago. And it really crystallized for me, like, oh my gosh, when you watch some of these movies, when I watch Remember the Titans and I see that in Alexandria, schools weren't integrated yet, and it's 1972. When you watch that movie as a kid, you feel like 1972 was 1,000 years ago. It's 15 years before I was born. That's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
The Kennedy, you know, you're talking about the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like 150 years ago. You think about it, no, it just happened. And if you were alive, it feels like it happened 3 months ago, because that's the way life works.
Yeah.
It's just crazy to think about.
And so, the anniversary was yesterday for the country, and, you know, it sort of gets marked with, hey, this has happened 32 years ago, and sort of that's that. But for the, you're absolutely right. I think it's a well-said point, is that those of us that lived it, quote-unquote, that, I mean, I will never, ever forget that. I will be, hopefully, 100 years old one day, lying on a bed very comfortably. I'll wake up January 28th and go, this is the anniversary of that thing. That absolutely marked all of us. Incredible.
Beltway Blitz next on the Redskins, the Wizards, John Wall news is not good. The Capitals, All-Star Weekend wrapped up yesterday. You're listening to The Fan.
Folks, Danny Ruye for my guys at Tedbert Ford. I need you to go see him. I'm going to have to ask you, if you get a moment, go ahead and go see him, because here's what you're going to get: a great deal on a great car, truck, or SUV. They're in Chantilly and Fairfax, just a click away at tedbert.com. Do what I've done, not one, but two times. That's right, a tool. I have gone twice and gotten myself two great Tedbert Fords. And here's what else you get. I'll give you some of the car deals in a second. Your car, right now, whatever it is you're driving around, you know what it is. You will get 130% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in. That is an outstanding deal. Use that and apply it towards a deal like this. 2018 Ford Fusion, like my 2017 Ford Fusion, except a 2018 Ford Fusion, for just $150 a month. You can get a 2018 Ford Escape, or an Escape to the layperson, $150 a month, or buy one for $16,999. How about a new Ford Explorer, $230 a month, or up to $10,000 off the MSRP? And finally, a new 2018 Ford F-150 pickup. How about just $249 a month for a lease, or buy one for up to $11,000 off the MSRP? Your bottom line is this: great deal, great car, great car. Work when you go. Tell us anything.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.